Let us open the Bible in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 12. The title is Prayer. Colossians 1. Verse 9, prayer. Are we all the same page? Can I read? For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Prayer. Very quick, let's just remember what we heard last week. The power of the gospel. The gospel must be understood. Once the gospel is understood, it produces fruit. And the gospel itself has the power to grow. Not naturally, but supernaturally. Do you remember that? The power of the gospel. Remember, this is the background for this text today. Prayer. We have read Philippians, we have read Ephesians, and now we are in Colossians. All these letters written from Paul from prison, all these letters Paul pray in the letter. So he leaves a prayer in the letter. And here it's one of his prayer, and then we learn how to pray with the Bible, correct? So we want to have a prayer life that it's biblical. And the first thing, as a matter of introduction, I want to show about Paul's prayer here, it's this. It shows his heart, and it must show ourselves our hearts when we pray. Because sometimes I pray, and the problem is not the lack of prayer. The problem is the mindset of the prayer. Look, Paul is in prison, but he's not praying for himself. Paul is in prison, he's praying for the Colossians. If my prayer is me, and we are not talking about me, let's keep talking about me. That's wrong. Paul is praying for the Colossians. And who are the Colossians? They are a small church, just like the Philippians. Ephesians, Corinthians, big church. Wealthy, big city, Toronto. Philippians and Colossians, small city, not wealthy. But Paul, it's not praying for material things. Paul is praying for spiritual things. Knowledge, understanding, power. So the prayer here shows us the heart of the Apostle Paul, the mindset we must have when we pray, but also shows us who we are praying to. Because the Apostle Paul is praying not knowledge, he's praying all the knowledge, all the power, all the understanding, because he's praying to the Almighty. If he was asking me, he wouldn't be praying all the knowledge, all the understanding, all the power, But because he's praying to God and he knows who God is, he's praying all and all and all. So our prayer must be filled with that. It's outside of us. It knows to whom we are praying. We are praying to the God who can do everything, and it must be a spiritual prayer. That's the focus here. That's what Paul is praying. And the first point that he's praying, that I show you, it's the content of the prayer. Prayer's content. What's the subject? It's there. What's the subject of the prayer? Let us read verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with knowledge, with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Skip verse 10 and let us read verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Knowledge and power. That's the content, that's the substance, the subject of the prayer. Knowledge without power is just information. Those kind of people who only know how to talk, but actually don't do. Knowledge without power. Power without knowledge, I'm going to give an example. Without saying names, because I'm political correct. Smart. Some people, they go to a building, go to a crowd, and explode themselves and explode their the crowd, and they think they are worshiping God when they do that. For the lack of knowledge. So knowledge without power, information. But power without knowledge, destructive. So Paul is praying the two, knowledge and power. So that we, Colossians, and that we, the church, we know who God is and we know the power he has. We know who we are in God and we know the power that our God and Father has. And so Paul is teaching us another thing about prayer. Prayer, it's way more about, it's way more listening than speaking. I don't come to God, or I should not come to God to tell God my will. I should come to God expecting to know his will and to let his will change my will. Does that make sense? It's more about listening than speaking. I approach God to be transformed by him, not to try to transform God. Why? Because Paul is praying for knowledge and power from God. Therefore, it's not mine, therefore it's his. So my prayer must be concerned and concentrate in knowing who God is. Knowledge. Remember that last week I told you that truth equals reality in this text. In this letter particularly, I told you that truth means reality. And that the Apostle Paul said, you bear fruits of truth, the gospel of truth. Why is this important? Because I'll give you the context of this letter. The word knowledge means gnosis. In the Greek, gnosis. I don't know why the English gnosis, they don't pronounce the G, but it spells G-N-O-S-E-S, gnosis, okay? And that's the word knowledge. And who were their people? Who are them? We still have some of them in our days, more than we would like to. And back in the days too. We are the normal people, you and I. We believe in Jesus, we believe in the Bible, we read the Bible, we understand the Bible produces fruit. Remember last sermon? We understand the gospel, and the gospel produces fruit. The gnosis, which is the word that we have Gnosticism and agnosticism. Gnosis, the people of knowledge back in the time of Paul, they were not normal like us. They would read the Bible, but it was not enough. You need to see things. You need to hear things. You need to experience things. You need to feel things. You need to have a secret. You need to have a revelation. You need to have something special. If you only read the Bible, understand the Bible, produce the fruit of the Bible, you're not spiritual. The spiritual one is the person who has a secret and a special revelation. Do we still have this in our days? Yes or yes? I'll give an example. The Gnostics are just like the get-rich-quick scheme people. You think I came good-looking today for no reason? I came for making illustration. They come good-looking, the get-rich people, they come good-looking like me. But the suit is way more expensive, way more. And water can be this one. Must be Fiji or Aquafina. And they tell you that they have a secret. That everybody's dumb, but they are smart. If you buy their thing, if you pay their subscription, if you follow them, you're going to be rich like this. And we all know this is all lie. They're all broke and trying to deceive. Yeah, deceive people. That's the context Paul was in. People had the Bible, but there were these Gnostic people who would claim they were more spiritual than the average. They would see things. They would hear things. And Paul is praying a simple prayer. I pray for knowledge. And where does the knowledge come from? The Bible. Where does the knowledge come from? The gospel. Out of that, Gnosticism, vision, so on and so forth, simply reading the Bible. Why? Because the gospel is the truth, reality. Bible, you can touch. Jesus incarnated. The cross is real. The resurrection is real. The apostles who are saying and preaching that they saw Jesus Christ resurrected, they touched Jesus Christ. The gospel is the truth. The knowledge is real, and that's what the Apostle Paul is praying for them. Get to know the Lord. Not mysticism, but the Lord. Everything you need to know, it's in the scriptures. What is salvation? Salvation in Jesus Christ. What is a family? A husband, a wife, kids. Husband, love your wife. Wife, respect and submit the husband. Kids, obey your parents. Whatever subject, it's in the Bible. But these Gnostic people, they were going far and far and off. So Paul says, I pray that you are powerful in the knowledge of God and that you understand that the knowledge of God, it's found in scriptures. That's the content of the prayer. And then he goes on the purpose of the prayer. Not only the content of the prayer, but the purpose of the prayer we see in verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. You see again knowledge being repeated. And now he links knowledge to fruits. What is he saying? The more you know God, the more you bear fruit. The less you bear fruit, the less you know God. You see that he says, live a life worthy of the gospel. What does that mean? It means this, a scale. A life worthy of the gospel, the Bible, it's on the right hand, our lives in the left hand. They must balance. If the Bible says something and we are out of balance with the Bible, not worthy of the gospel. So our lives must be balanced with the Bible. That's the way we live a life worthy of the gospel. And Paul links knowledge to bearing fruit. Paul is the same person who talks about salvation by grace. You should do nothing. Salvation is grace. Please don't try to earn salvation. Jesus earned it for you. But it's the same Paul who's always and always and always talking about fruits, doing good things, and living a life worthy of the gospel. How can we understand that? It's simple. Paul speaks and gives emphasis to good works and bearing fruit when we understand that good fruits is the result of the gospel, not the root of the gospel. The root of the gospel is grace. The results of the gospel, its fruits. Does that make sense? Paul gives great emphasis to good works. Once people understand they are the fruits of the gospel, not the root of the gospel. Therefore, the Apostle Paul expects Colossians, expects Emmanuel Reformed Church to bear fruit. And this is very crucial, because we are talking about Gnosticism, the people who claim they see things, they hear things, and that they are above the average. They are more spiritual than the rest. And then Paul is saying that you should bear fruit. If you know God, you should bear fruit. If God really, you have a special relationship with God, you should bear fruit. Why is he saying that? Because the Gnostics didn't bear fruit. They had only conversation. But they had no fruit. I'll give an illustration. It's very, very, and I'm going to say very again, very common in Brazil. Here it's not too common, but if you walk around, you're going to see. Those kind of people in Brazil, those leaders, those spiritual beings, people, and they have always a special revelation, and they always have a special message, and they are feeling what nobody's feeling. They are seeing what nobody's seeing. It's time of peace and they are seeing disaster. It's time of disaster and they are seeing peace. And they say they have that special and direct Wi-Fi wireless connection with God that nobody else have. Only them. And interesting enough, among them, most of them are self-made apostles, self-made prophets, self-made pastors. self-made evangelists. And if you go to ask them and ask them, okay, which church do you go? They're going to say, I don't go to no church. Who ordained you? I ordained myself. God ordained me. And then, when they go speak, and trust me, they go speak at very many places. Because people buy it. People believe it. People are looking for the news and the news and the news and the news. When they go speak, they are mostly, most of the time, begging for money. GoFundMe type of people. And I use the word begging in purpose, not asking, begging for money. And so when we open the Bible and we put that to check, put the ministry to check, put the sayings to check, we see that the Bible tells us that we should be rooted in a local church, but they are not. We see that the Bible called us to be the givers, the blessers, because more blessed is to give than to receive. We see that the Bible says that if somebody ordained you, it must be somebody supporting you, that backs you up, that you have gone through the procedure, that you have gone through the studies, that you have people who are pastors themselves have anointed you. But those people skip all of that, lack all of that, fail in all of that, but they still claim they are more spiritual than the average and that they have a special knowledge that the average doesn't have. The Apostle Paul is saying, if you know God, you bear fruit. And if you bear fruit, you know those who just talk. No matter how spiritual they sound, no matter how amazing they sound, no matter how nice the story is, if they don't bear fruit, I'm sorry, they don't have the knowledge and the power of the Lord. Does that make sense? Does the prayer of the Apostle Paul make sense now? The focus of this knowledge that it's the truth, that it's reality, that you can see, that everybody can see, and the purpose that it's to bear fruit and to live a life worthy of the gospel. Not only to speak and speak and speak, but to actually do things. That's the purpose. Finally, and you're going to love this one. Verse 11, the third point. Prayers additions. The idea of this point is that prayer adds to our lives. Prayer enhances our lives. Verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Say with me, endurance, patience. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So prayer adds to our life this knowledge, this power, adds to our life endurance and patience. And endurance and patience both connote, have the idea of the same thing. Enduring and being patient. But definitely they're not the same thing. Or else they would have the same name. Correct? So, endurance. It's dealing with difficult situation, difficult circumstances, That's endurance. Bad seasons, you endure it. How about patience? You know what it's patience needs to deal with? You know. Patience deals, if endurance deals with the circumstances, patience deals with? With what? Difficult? You can't say difficult people because I'm not difficult, right? Yeah, but patience is for difficult people. Oh my. Because sometimes we are good enduring hard seasons, but we are terrible enduring difficult people. Patience. And sometimes we are very good enduring being patient with difficult people. But whatever season it's hard, I can't sleep. I stop eating. Or I eat too much. Or, I don't know what's going to go. And then we fail in enduring season. Both. Prayer adds both. The prayer of the Apostle Paul is that the Colossians endure tough season and difficult people. We need knowledge and power for that? Yes or no? Yes. Not in here, we are all nice people, but outside, they need it so much. Hard situations in hard people. Joyfully giving thanks. Joyfully. Sometimes we endure like this. I gotta love you, right? I gotta share the house with you. Grumpy. And then we endure and be patient. And if you ask the person, I'm patient. Very. But what is the secret here? And what is the power for? What is the addition of the prayer here? To do it what? Joyfully. The world is going to bad to worse. The house, it's complicated. The co-worker is annoying. That's how we do. Why? There is a secret. There is a reason. Because God qualified you to share in the inheritance of the kingdom. That's just a moment. Difficult people is just a moment. Those things are going to fade. But we have a kingdom that is not only awaiting for us, that it's not only a tomorrow thing, but it's already in us. The Holy Spirit already dwells in us. The Holy Spirit already should govern our lives. And therefore, that's why we can, we are able, and we should endure hardships, deal with difficult people with thanksgiving and a joyful heart. Amen? Did you like the third one? I told you we like. Very, very good. So I'll bring this sermon to the conclusion. So prayer, the content, knowledge and power. The purpose is that we bear fruit. And the prayer gives us this knowledge and power to actually deal with the challenges of life, circumstances, and people with joy and thanksgiving. The relevance of this prayer, of this sermon, I think it's clear. Again, this is not too common, maybe here at Emmanuel. This is not too common, maybe here in Canada, but you still see that, especially nowadays, the generation, my generation, the next generation, they are very feeling oriented. Most likely you hear things like this: I did that because I felt like doing it. I didn't do that because I did not feel like doing it. This thing is good for you. I don't feel like it. That thing is bad for you. I feel like it. And they go and do what they feel like it. Do you have grandkids? Yeah, no. Our generation is like this. So this, it's very relevant. Not sensorial driven, feeling driven, knowledge driven. Okay? And secondly, and finally, to bring this to the conclusion, Paul is teaching us in this prayer that to know God, it's objectively. This idea that there are many ways that lead to God, and you believe this and you believe that, it's not true. It's objectively. Open the Bible and you're going to know God. Not what you feel like, not what your opinion is like, not what the circumstances is like. It is objectively. God is who He is. God is who He tells He is. God wants to be worshipped the way He tells us He wants to be worshipped. God is going to show Himself to us. We can grow in our relationship with Him the way He tells us we're going to do. Bible. The knowledge of God is objectively, not subjectively. Okay? Homework for all of us. I already did that to you this week. But I want you to pray this prayer, verse 9 to 12, to Emmanuel this week. Only once. If you want to do more, we appreciate. But if you do once, we are very, very happy that you pray this prayer for us here at Emmanuel. Okay? Amen.